Good to have you with us on Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. As your place of business might be doing, we're taking all kinds of precautions here at KPCC with coronavirus. We are minimizing in-studio guests. In fact, we're attempting to keep that six-foot buffer between employees. I feel like Bubble Boy in the studio here. We're trying to keep everything as safe and protected as we can. And I know many workplaces are doing this as well. And you can, on our AirTalk page at kpcc.org, describe some of the ways that your workplace is responding to COVID-19 and whether you think that the measures that they're taking are appropriate, insufficient, or going overboard. And you can explain why. You can share those comments on the AirTalk page at kpcc.org. Joining us again today, just as he did yesterday, UCLA Professor of Medicine and Public Health and Director of UCLA's Center for Public Health and Disasters, Dr. David Eisenman. Dr. Eisenman, thank you so much for joining us again today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be back, Larry.
Let's start with the World Health Organization formally declaring about an hour ago that COVID-19 is a pandemic. What does that mean?
That means to me that this is a call to action. Now, in public health, we've been saying for quite a few days, if not weeks, that this is a pandemic. The word may sound scary, but really it's just a numbers thing. It's just saying that there are cases on every continent and that it's going to spread. But we've known that for a while. So this is a scary word that they've avoided using. I am glad personally that they're using it. I see it as, one, a call to action. It's saying we are all in this together. It's saying that this is a war against an invisible common enemy and that we all have a part to play in limiting its spread.
We have some statistics from the state of California now that of the cases that have been diagnosed here, we've got the majority of people are 18 to 64. The minority of cases are people 65 and over. Given that age and underlying health conditions are the most serious factors here, is it a positive, the age demo breakdown of this, if there is any positive to take?
It's hard to take anything from those numbers because who has gotten the test is so selective. We really haven't given the test to all the people who have any kind of respiratory illness. A very selected group of people have gotten the test. So it's hard to know the denominator of that number.
All right. We've had many universities locally and in the state that have gone online with their classes. Cal State Long Beach, the latest to do that. Whittier College, another one. Of course, UCLA and USC in past days. Dr. Eisenman, do you think that this is necessary for the schools to do this when we don't have any reported cases or people that have had to go into self-isolation on those campuses?
Yes, I'm really glad to see that the universities are doing this proactive step. We're in the phase now where cases are going to accelerate, and what we need to do is to slow the spread. We need to reduce the number of new cases that occur every day. So the way to do that is social distancing. This is a term that no one ever heard until last week, and we're now getting very used to. Not having classes in large lecture halls or even in small lecture rooms where people are 2 or 3 feet away from each other is a form of social distancing. So we will have less new cases. I'd like to see us doing more and more local level social distancing like that.
We have a chance for you to ask questions of our guest, Dr. David Eisenman, joining us again today. And We so appreciate his time and providing his expertise. But if you have questions about COVID-19, we're at 866-893-5722. You can also ask a question on our AirTalk page, kpcc.org. You can tweet at AirTalk, or you can also post on the AirTalk Facebook page to let us know. I wouldn't be surprised if we have many more listeners who are at home, working at home today, listening to the program while you're doing your work. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Dr. Eisenman, what do we take today from what we've seen over the past 24 hours, reports of additional exposure here in California? Or is it just because testing is lagging, we just really don't have a good handle on exposure?
Well, we know that there is coronavirus in our communities. It's here. It's only going to accelerate. Testing is going to show us no more numbers. But in a sense, the numbers are increasing because we're doing more testing, just as much as the numbers are increasing because it's spreading. So I say we can't follow the numbers as anything more than a sign that we are acknowledging its existence. We know that it's really out there.
All right. And what about the testing? What do we know about the collection kits, the sample kits, where urgent care centers, at least some of them, didn't have them available? I understand there has to be some specialized training to do the collection of those samples. Do we have a sense of how widely they're now being distributed?
Nothing has changed in the last day or two. We are still seeing a small number of testing sites and an unnecessarily small number of testing kits in places like Los Angeles. It's really unfortunate. We need to be having thousands of tests a day conducted in our city, not hundreds.
Is the training, to your knowledge, does it take very long for people to be trained, say, at an urgent care center, how to do the proper collection?
Yes, it takes training in how to protect yourself. So first of all, we want to make sure that the healthcare worker, when they're taking the collection, is doing it in a safe way, that they put on protective equipment correctly, that when they're finished, they take it off correctly so they don't contaminate themselves and they dispose of it correctly. And all that just takes a little bit of training and a little bit of practice. Now, they've done this before. They've practiced this before. So it's really just a refresher. Then there's the training on how to collect the sample and how to label it and how to store it and how to send it out. That's a little bit easier. It's very much like sending other kinds of samples that healthcare workers have done, again, with the caveat that they have to do it really safely.
Right. Let me just share an update. Seniors at a Northern California assisted living facility have been placed in a 2-week quarantine. A woman in her 90s who was a resident at the Carlton Senior Living Facility in Elk Grove near Sacramento died yesterday in the hospital. So 140 residents will be isolated. This also being done for nursing home facilities in Washington State. Governor Jay Inslee mandated that be done. Dr. Eisenman, is that something that we're going to start seeing pretty much across the board at any senior living facility where there's been any suspicion of exposure?
Well, first, let me say my hearts go out to the families of the lost members of their family and, of course, to anyone who's under this kind of lockdown. I think we should expect all kinds of containment and mitigation measures in nursing homes. The elderly in nursing homes are one of the most vulnerable communities we have. And this has been true for all kinds of infections. So while we see lockdowns like that, I know that friends of mine can't go visit their mother in a nursing home where there's been no lockdown. They're just saying, until we have a test or we have more information, we are asking family members not to come visit because we don't want infections in our nursing home. So Nursing homes are taking all kinds of measures because they are at such risk.
We have Anne writing on the AirTalk page, is it okay to visit my elderly parents in an outdoor setting, keeping 6 feet away if they live in assisted living complexes? One is very vulnerable with COPD. Dr. Eisenman?
Well, first thing I would say is call the nursing home and ask what their policy is. They may actually be saying they don't want visitors, as I just mentioned. I do think that there's a risk, and it's really hard to say this. What I am most concerned about is spreading the coronavirus to the people most at risk from dying. And that sounds like, you know, a 70-year-old person with COPD is exactly that kind of person. So sad as it is, and as much as it breaks my heart to advise it, I would limit visiting, even though it might be outdoor, I would limit that and see if you can get by for the time being with doing it by Skype or FaceTime.
We're talking with Dr. David Eisenman, UCLA professor of medicine and public health, the physician as well, and director of UCLA Center for Public Health and Disasters. He's also a scientist at RAND. We're taking your calls with your questions. You can also ask questions on our AirTalk page at kpcc.org. As yesterday, we just simply didn't have time to get to everybody's. We're going to get to as many questions as we can during the course of this conversation. We'll continue talking, getting the expertise of our guests focused on COVID-19, now declared a pandemic by the World Health Organization. Great to have you with us on Air Talk this morning. I'm Larry Mantle. So many important questions are coming in for our guest, UCLA physician Dr. David Eisenman. He's professor of medicine and public health at UCLA, and he also directs the university's Center for Public Health and Disasters. We're getting a lot of questions about whether people should go to large events. Mackenzie in Burbank says she's set for a big 3-day conference mid-April at the MGM Grand Garden Arena, where you're going to be around thousands of people. It hasn't been canceled. Should I consider attending? Mackenzie asks. Jana in Hancock Park says, when should we consider canceling events? What would the crowd size limit be? So, Dr. Eisenman, what's the threshold for you?
That's a very good question. I am making that decision every day, and it's a different decision for me personally every day. And I have chosen not to go to events, I have to say, even really important events to me, like a wedding in New York. So I think there's an issue here, which is that we are at the phase where we absolutely have to have social distancing if we are going to get through this with as little deaths and damage as possible. And on the one hand, there's pressures on local authorities to consider when to do social distancing announcements. And I think that that's understandable that they have to hold off until they hit that right threshold for themselves. I think as a public, we need to put pressure on local authorities around this. And the best way to do that is to vote with our feet by not going to these events and showing that not only are we going to protect ourselves, we're not going because we're trying to protect others. Even if I'm young and healthy and not in a high-risk group, I can get infected by it and be spreading it around to other people unknowingly. And so I'm doing my part by not going to these events so that I am not a spreader. And that's, I think, the idea behind my original statement that this is a call to action and that we all have a part to play in limiting the spread.
Dr. Eisenman, thank you so much for being with us again. And I hope you'll be able to join us in days here in the future as well. I know you're very busy, but we do appreciate it very much.
My pleasure.
Dr. David Eisenman, UCLA professor of medicine and public health. He directs the university's Center for Public Health and Disasters.